Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to stage and television actress Denise Burse about her role in the True Colors theater production of Dot. The star of Black Mirror and Tyler Perry's House of Pain opens up about how her real-life experiences prepared her for the role and more. Singer-songwriter and the reigning queen of underground soul, Cy Smith, is here to chat about her current album, Sometimes a Rose Will Grow in Concrete. And closing out today's show is young filmmaker Armandi Stokes Hicks. He stopped by the studios this week to chat about his new film, You Can't Save Everyone. I'll also be playing music from Cy Smith along with jazz greats Shirley Horn and Tony Bennett. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Sabrine Jolly.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women to portray wealthy hotel guests for the new OWN series, Love Is. The show is set in the 90s, and the actors must look between the ages of 20 to 50 years old. The actors must also bring their own luggage. If you fit the description, please send your legal name, phone number, sizes, and a recent photo to loveis@centralcasting.com with hotel guest in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, in theaters this weekend is Will Packer's Breaking In. It features Gabrielle Union as Sean Russell, a young mother who spends the weekend in the home of her deceased father when it is invaded by a group of thugs looking for something in the home. It also stars Ajiana Alexis, Seth Carr, and Jason George. And finally, FX has released a new teaser trailer for the second season of Snowfall. The one-hour dramatic series comes from John Singleton and follows an ensemble of characters from Los Angeles, whose lives intersect and overlap during the infancy of the crack cocaine epidemic in the early 1980s. Each character is working towards their ultimate goal of money, power, and influence. Watch the teaser trailer at WCLK.com. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Sabrine Jolly.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, presenting Friday Jazz on May 18th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. This month features the sounds of drummer Che Marshall, who plays a set featuring jazz, hip-hop, and rock. Friday Jazz at the High is hosted by WCLK's Jamal Ahmed. Ticket information is available at high.org.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9 WCLK.
If ever you're restless and you're feeling low, don't think that the city is the place to go. Well, I'll tell you one thing worth singing about. If you come in, be sure you can get back out. The great city's playboys, they're always around.
My first guest is best known for her role as Claritha Jenkins in Tyler Perry's House of Pain. I'm talking about none other than Denise Burse. The multi-talented actress is returning to her Atlanta roots this summer as the star of Kenny Leon's True Colors production of Dot. The show was written by actor Coleman Domingo and follows Dottie, who is struggling to hold on to her failing memory while her three children must fight to balance care for her and for themselves. Burse was in town recently and talked to me about the show and how caring for her stepfather has already prepared her for the role. Well, welcome to Upfront, Miss Denise Burse. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm really excited to have you here on the show. It's been a while since we've seen you on an Atlanta stage, and if I can jog my memory, I think the last show that you were in was an Alliance Theater production. Am I correct?
That is absolutely correct. It was a production of Amen Corner, directed
by.
Wonderful
directed, performance.
Who directed that? I'm trying to think.
Yeah. It's been a, that was, oh my God, that had to be well over 10 years ago now. I
Andrea
would say.
Fry.
That's
Andrea
it.
Fry.
Yeah. The amazing Andrea Fry. But we're talking about a new production that you are going to be starring in with our good friends over at True Colors. And this is a production that was written by TV and film star Coleman Domingo. And we're talking about Dot. And this show is taking place July the 17th through August the 12th. And it kind of deals with the issue that I think is becoming more prevalent now in the African-American community. We're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia, and you're actually starring as Dot. So how did you hear about this show?
Kenny and I talked briefly. He was in New York at the time, and he asked if I was interested in what my availability might be if they went forward with me in the production, and I told him I was very interested. I have seen the production done before, and Coleman Domingo is a friend, so I was excited because I like his work. I like his writing. I like the style that he uses to tell our stories. And my stepfather actually just passed away recently in May of last year, and he suffered from Alzheimer's. So I'm extremely familiar with the condition and very aware of the toll that it takes on the patient, but also the toll that it takes on the loved ones and family members who watch it unfold. And so I wanted to have the experience to do it from a very personal perspective, but also from a theatrical perspective in terms of trying to make those observations that I had experienced for the last 10 years easily come to life on stage, you know. And I always look forward to those kinds of challenges when I make choices about the kinds of roles that I'm going to take on. So when he told me what the play was that True Colors was going to do, I became very interested and called my agent to work it all out so that I, in fact, would be able to come and do the performance.
Yeah, and that was going to be one of my questions that I was going to ask you is how, you know, what type of research or how did you prepare or how are you going to prepare to play this? But if you've had, you know, this experience of being, you know, the caregiver, so you really are coming with two perspectives. One as the person that is suffering from it, but then also the caregiver as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing was I don't live in Atlanta anymore. And for a good portion of the time the onset and the initial stages of it, my mother was still alive and she was the primary caregiver. And I saw the toll that it took on her to the point that I had to come home and move them into an assisted living facility, Somerset Assisted Living, actually, out on Benjamin E. Mays. And I still have a relationship with the staff there because they spent so many of their twilight years there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that I'm going to be able to call and say, you know, I'd like to come and visit some of the patients because I still know some of the other residents there personally, just to sort of refresh my mind to what the movement is like, what the stare is like, the quietness of the disease and the outburst, because it takes on various levels at various times. You know, that there are things that become so apparently disheartening for us, but they are also struggling with in a very deep and personal way because they've lost their independence. They know that they can't remember certain things, and they're staring at you trying to see if somehow something in your eyes will help them remember or help them find the words until the decline becomes so absolutely significant that they know that they can no longer even speak, even if you told them what to say. Sometimes they've just lost their voice totally. There's just no volume there to express their feelings. They forget how to feed themselves very often. Other motor skills become impaired to the extent that many of them end up in wheelchairs because they forget how to walk. And you can tell sometimes during the course of the decline of the disease that that's going to be an issue for them because their gait changes tremendously, you know. It's almost as if you are watching an elderly person completely revert back to infancy or toddler age, you know what I mean, where they are learning or trying to figure out how to walk, how to speak, how to feed themselves. And as I said, it can be so painful to watch, but I became acutely aware of how extremely painful it is for them to know that they've lost all control. I'm sorry. They've lost all control of their personal lives, any independence that they were accustomed to. And more often than not, we're talking about extremely bright and vibrant human beings who were at the top of their game, creative on so many levels, who were extremely intelligent. And so to see that happen to someone, even if you're not attached to them in a personal way, it's really difficult. But if you are attached to them, as I, children, you know, a spouse, a good friend, or even a neighbor who was accustomed to be able to throw up their hand and have a brief conversation, it's very challenging emotionally. I'm yeah. sorry, I went off the rail there for a minute.
It's okay.
But yeah, that was in part the real reason that I got back to Kenny so quickly. In addition to the fact that I had worked with him since the inaugural play for the opening of True Colors Theater Company, which was Fences, August Wilson's Fences, back when True Colors first started.
Yeah, so this will kind of be somewhat of a homecoming for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, I can't think of a better way to do it, and I can't think of a better theater company to do it with. The crew that I worked with has changed tremendously, but I worked with them today, and they are just off the chain. All very good. It's a whole new young, energetic interest and energy. And,
yeah.
And I fed off of that. You know what I mean? I really like soaked them in and celebrate their artistry, because it was apparent from each and every one of them. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Ms. Denise Burst, thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedule. We're talking to the one and only Miss Denise Burst, who is starring in True Colors production of Coleman Domingo's Dot. This is taking place July the 17th through August the 12th, and you can get more information about that at WCLK.com. Looking forward to the performance in July. I can't wait to see you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Sabrine Jolly with today's WCLK Jazz Calendar. Avery Sunshine, Layla Hathaway, Robert Glasper, and more are performing at the 2018 St. Lucia Jazz Festival, May 6th through the 13th. Vocalist Julie Dexter and Kebby Williams play a jazz and blues Mother's Day brunch at the City Winery on Sunday, May 13th, with Deb Moore hosting. Drummer Che Marshall performs at Friday Jazz at the High on May 18th and is hosted by Jamal Ahmed. Smooth jazz saxophonist Jasmine Gent is playing St. James Live on Saturday, May 19th. Marcus Johnson, Sip and Sounds with pre-show meet and greet and wine tasting is taking place on Sunday, May 20th at St. James Live. And finally, Diane Reeves, Jasmia Horn, John Baptiste with the Dap Kings, Terry Lynn Carrington and Social Science and more are performing at the 2018 Atlanta Jazz Festival, Memorial Day weekend, May 26th and 27th. That's today's jazz calendar. For these and more live jazz performances, log on to WCLK.com and check out the events calendar. I'm Sabrine Jolly.
Sometimes a rose will grow in concrete. Sometimes the caged bird will sing.
Hey, yo, peace world, it's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
That was music from singer, songwriter, actress, and music producer Cy Smith. The acclaimed vocalist released a new album recently that features collaborations with such greats as Sheila E. and the Myron McKinley Trio. Upfront caught up with her to chat about the music and her recent performance honoring entertainment icons Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad. Well, Cy Smith, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I am so good. It's so good to speak with you again, Ray.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've last talked. And as we were talking off air, I missed your Atlanta show that you had back in March. But, man, I'll have to catch you the next time around.
Yes, please do. Don't miss me next time. I don't get out there as much as I'd like to.
Yeah. Well, we have you on to talk about a number of things. You recently headlined a tribute to your Howard University sisters, Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad, and everybody's kind of been buzzing about that. But before we get into that, let's talk about this new album. We open up the segment with Sometimes a Rose Will Grow in the Concrete, and that's actually the title track from the album. What was the inspiration behind this one?
That song, the title track, was actually the first song that I wrote that I knew was going to be the driving force behind the album.
Yeah.
Like, as a singer, a songwriter, you know, we're always sort of writing songs and you know, I personally just write them and kind of put them away. But I wrote this one and demoed it, and as soon as I demoed it, I was like, this is the song that's going to sort of drive my album, I can already tell.
Yeah.
And, So I didn't know that I was going to name the album after the song until, you know, 2 years later when I was kind of finishing the album. But I knew it was like a long sort of title, but it just felt right. You know what I mean? And when something is right, you just go with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Now you got a chance to work with some amazing people. So let's talk about some of that experience for this particular album.
I wrote and produced the whole album by myself, which was something I've never done before.
Right.
But in doing so, you know, part of being a producer is calling up the cats that you know will pull off the sound that you need. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I for a couple of songs, for instance, I used the Myron McKinley Trio to give Now and Later and Perspective the backbeats that I felt like they deserved. I wanted those songs to really have an authentic jazz feel. As you know, I've been touring a lot the last few years with jazz trumpeter Chris Bode.
Exactly.
So my jazz musings have become more than musings now, you know. So I really wanted those two songs to have an authentic feel. I called in my sister Sheila E. to play percussion on a song called Catastrophe. And you know, that was amazing. Just that, you know, what more can somebody say about Sheila E.? You know what I mean?
Right.
She is an icon, and she just happens to be my sister. Like, you know, I toured with her for a couple of years, and she's amazing. And the Escovedo family has kind of chosen me as a chosen cousin, you know?
Right. And I was gonna say, you really, I mean, because with this one, even just with the title track, there's so many. You've got the jazz, you've got a little bit of blues. I mean, there's a lot on this album that just, I mean, it's one of those songs, and I, a lot of times when I'm listening to an album, I listen to it while cleaning the house, because I just let the album play, and that to me is the best way to kind of hear, you know, everything from the beginning to the end. And to me, this is one of those yeah, cleaning albums. You know, you just kind of put this in and just clean up. You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and lastly, I got to mention J-Mo, Jairus Mosey. He played guitar on almost every song. And so his guitar sort of, to me, is the thread, you know, other than my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think his guitar is sort of the thread of the album that sort of makes things feel very like a sense of continuity. And Ty Macklin, who produced on my former album, Conflict, he produced Fly Away With Me and B-Side Love Affair. Ty Macklin did a lot of the drum programming. And then I had Lee Pearson from Baltimore do some of the live drums that I sort of interplayed with the drum programming, just to keep everything feeling like it was feeling a live show.
Yeah. Oh, such is the conundrum in my soul, and it's beating me like a drum to a pulse. Cannot solve the riddle, impossible. Climbing high, still can't get.
So that was a clip from Can't Get Over You, which also comes from the album. Let's talk a little bit about that song, too, because I kind of like the groove to that one as well.
Thank you. I wanted this album to sort of give me my Roberta Flack moment, if you will.
Okay.
I don't sound anything like Roberta Flack, and I love her dearly. But when I say that, I mean, like, I wanted to sit at the piano and just write every song, you know, so that if I wanted to, I could just sit at the piano and play every song and sing them. You know what I mean? So that song, Can't Get Over You, was, you know, to me, is a really... I love the way it sounds on recording, but I also love that I can just kind of sit and play those really pretty chords and sing it at any tempo I want. And you know, so if you ever see me live, I might do that. In fact, the show that you missed.
Yeah.
I did that. But I wanted that song to just kind of feel, I don't know. I wanted it to feel like somebody really reminiscing about someone that they love, you know? And then I just did a whole bunch of modulations at the end because why not? I was just the musical nerd in me just wanted to change keys, and then I changed keys again, and then come back to the original chorus with that really sort of beautiful you resonating at the end like that.
Yeah. Now, you also got a chance to tour with the late, great Whitney Houston. I think you were part of her European tour. So when I mentioned Whitney Houston, what comes to mind?
She was a miracle to behold. Like, to me, every single night, my very first show with her was at Constitution Hall and was live on HBO.
I remember that.
Yes, in my hometown of D.C. And it was great because my dad and my mom were there. but what was awesome about Whitney was her voice in itself was a miracle. It was not something that anybody could recreate. It was connected to the Most High in a way that we don't really see. It was a once in a generation voice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be able to watch her perform and just, you know, watch how her entire body engaged with producing that sound was beautiful. It was like watching a miracle happen every night. And that's really what she was.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of D.C. and Howard University, you recently participated in A Tale of Two Sisters, which was a tribute to the great Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad. How did you get involved with that project?
Okay, H-U, I got to say it. Ricky Minor, who was also the music director for Whitney Houston, he and I have been working together for many years. So he called me a couple of weeks ago and was like, do you want to perform for this tribute to Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad? And of course I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And he told me what I would be doing, the opening number. Oh my goodness, sorry, my dog just ran in here and he's a mini horse. he told me I'd be doing the opening number, which was, of course, it was Fame. The iconic tribute, the iconic theme song from the movie and
the TV series,
that Debbie Allen starred in. And, I mean, it was crazy. It was like four generations of the Debbie Allen Dance Academy dancers also performed. So that opening was just, it was big and grand and beautiful and, including Debbie Allen's daughter, Vivian Nixon, who choreographed the number. So, you know, it was just wonderful to see Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad in the front row just smiling from ear to ear. And Miss Allen gave me a really sweet hug afterwards. And, you know, I couldn't have asked to be a part of a better tribute to them. It was long overdue, and it was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, Cy Smith, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to share some of that with us. We're talking to the amazing singer. She's got a great album out entitled Sometimes a Rose Will Grow in Concrete. And again, thank you so much. And I will catch your next show in Atlanta.
I hope so, Ray. Don't leave me hanging.
I'll do that.
Thank you so much. so much for having me on your show.
No problem. Thank you.
Programming on WCLK is made possible in part by St. James Live, presenting saxophonist Adrian Crutchfield, merging jazz with R&B, funk, and soul. He has performed with Kim Waters, Alex Bunyong, 4Play, and was the last sax player to tour and record with Prince. Adrian Crutchfield live at St. James Live on Sunday, May 13th. Doors open at 6 p.m., showtime at 7 p.m. St. James Live is located at 3220 Butner Road in Atlanta. Ticket information is available at stjamesliveatl.com.
I'm Niecy Nash.
I'm Karuchi Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
My last guest is rising filmmaker Armandi Stokes Hicks. He stopped by the Upfront Studios this week to discuss his new film, You Can't Save Everyone, which he wrote and directed as a film major at Southern Adventist University. Armandi also talks about working alongside his aunt, TV producer and writer Regina Hicks, and the lessons he's learned from her, and much more. Armandi Hicks, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know, so I have to let our audience know that this is sort of a... I don't know if it's surreal. I really don't know what to call this moment, because I've known you since you were like maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running around WCLK. Yeah. Chasing after your dad, who is in our development department, Reginald Hicks. Mm-hmm. But you're actually a full grown person now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how that works. Huh?
Yeah. With some major things going on. So you mm-hmm. actually have a film. You're a film major.
Yes.
Over in Alabama. Tell what's
going on. Well, it's right outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I go to Southern Adventist University, which is in Collegedale, maybe about 30 minutes outside of downtown Chattanooga.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm currently pursuing my bachelor's degree in film production.
Yeah, and you have a film out, You Can't Save Everyone,
right?
That you've entered into a few film festivals. But
yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the film.
So You Can't Save Everyone is basically this story that I've been working on for a couple of years now, and it's about a detective named John Morris who is investigating this serial killer. And so in the midst of doing that, his partner comes to him and she has a new case for him, and it's a missing little girl's case. So he decides to take this case, and while he's taking this case, he confronts this man named Victor Bateman. And so Victor Bateman is kind of playing this game with Morris, and long story short, basically we find out that Victor Bateman is involved in this missing little girl case and actually the cases that he was investigating in the beginning of the film with the serial killer. And so he opens a bigger can of worms basically by the end of the film, and we see that this is going to be an ongoing game between Detective Morris and Victor Bateman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you've been working on this for 2 years. I was reading in your information. How
right.
did you come? Where did these characters come from?
Right. Well, 2 years ago, I was in a screenwriting class, and we needed to come up with like an original screenplay or a short film, about 5 pages. And so that's kind of where the idea started. I got inspiration from a bunch of different things. Some of the TV shows that I like The Mentalist and Criminal Minds and things like that. And so that's where the idea started. It developed, and I actually created it into a TV show. And I made 2 episodes, a pilot and a second episode, both like around 45 pages long. And then when it came to doing my senior project class, which is what You Can't Save Everyone was for, I needed to adapt that longer TV script into a shorter, about 15-page script, and so that's kind of where the idea came from. I love crime shows and mysteries, and I love TV shows and films where you're there and not everything is presented in front of you, but instead you're trying to figure everything out with the main character, with the protagonist, and so that's kind of where the idea came from.
So you're kind of learning as they're learning as well.
Right, and there's twists and turns, there's surprises at the end, you know, it's not just whatever's in front of you is what you see, but there's a deeper meaning in everything that you're witnessing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, this was entered into the Sun Film Festival.
Sunscreen.
Film Festival. Okay, which is S-O-N.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, it's held every year in a different place, but this year it was up in Maryland, and so it's a Adventist owned or Adventist sponsored film festival. Yeah. Sorry. And so every year the school goes up there. My school takes some of the film majors up there, and we always enter some of our work into the festival. And so this year was my first year going, my first year submitting something. And unfortunately, we didn't win anything, but a lot of people really enjoyed the film. They did a Q&A afterwards. And so we got to answer a lot of people's questions. They were really intrigued. And I think one of the biggest things that people kept asking Anthony Matos, who was the producer of the film, he was my partner in this, and I, was that, is there more? Like, is there going to be more episodes? Are there going to be more films? Like, you can't just leave us hanging like this. And that's really what we wanted. We wanted people to be hooked so much that they're like, okay, so what happens next? We want more. We want to see what's going to happen after the end of this film. So,
now, what's next for the film?
What's next is we are going to release it online. We more recently completed it, so it's been scored and colored, and it's pretty much finished. It's ready to be released online, so we'll release it on YouTube and Vimeo and things like that. And we also plan on entering it into more film festivals later on in the future, some in Atlanta and Chattanooga and things like that. So as many festivals as we can get it in to, and trying to spread the word about the film is really what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask, you know, where did this inspiration come from to want to be, you know, in television and film? But as I did a little bit of digging here, you in your family, your aunt is the great Regina Hicks, who we've had on the show. She's a producer and writer for Insecure.
Right.
She's also worked on some other iconic shows, A Different World. You know, the list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. You also have a cousin, Heidi McGowan, who is a production manager for Black-ish.
Right.
And
then
another cousin, Susan Dansby, who is an Emmy-winning writer for The Young and the Restless.
Right.
It just kind of runs in the family book.
Yeah.
What lessons have you learned from them individually?
Well, yeah, I would say that writing and this, the film industry is kind of in my blood, right? I think I've learned to continue to constantly be working on the craft, right? Constantly write. Write every day if you can. And I see where my family members have started from and where they are now. And they've gotten there through hard work and determination. It's not going to come easy the very first day, even with having family in the industry. You know, that just doesn't mean that everything's going to be handed to me in a silver platter. And here I am at my dream job just like that. No, it comes with determination and hard work and having to constantly perfect the craft. And that's what I try to do. I strive to be like them because that's what they did, right? And you see where they are now. And so just because I'm a part of their family, you know, I have to work just as hard as they did and really try to become the best at what it is that I want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Armandi, thank you so much for
stopping by. Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
This is your first interview, so if and when, say when, you can't save everyone, wins its first award, I need you to shout out up front.
That I will. Well, I appreciate it, Ray. This is a lot of fun, man. Yeah. A lot of fun. So.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Denise Burse, Armandi Stokes Hicks, and Cy Smith. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you, Please join us next Saturday, May 19th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.